the Almighty God. Let him know that you appreciate that is greater than the greatest, that is higher than the highest, that is stronger than the strongest, that is older than the oldest. Go ahead, worship the Almighty God. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be magnified. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy. Worthy to be honored. Worthy to be adored. Worthy to be magnified. We worship you. We adore you. We lift you high, O Lord. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Now lift your voice to him and say, Father, in a very special way tonight, let me have an encounter with you. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. In a very, very special way tonight, please, Daddy, let me have an encounter with you. An encounter I will not forget for the rest of my life. Please, Lord, let me have an encounter with you tonight. A very, very special one. A very, very special encounter. Please, Lord, let me have an encounter with you. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You are worthy, O Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, O Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy to be glorified. Hallelujah. You are worthy, my Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, O Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy to be glorified. Hallelujah. You are worthy, my Lord, you are. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy, my Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy to be glorified. Rock of Ages, Ancient of Days, the great physician, the one who can do and undo. Glory be to your holy name. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you did yesterday. Thank you for what you are about to do now. And thank you in advance for what you will do tomorrow. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Tonight, your children are here again. In a very, very special way, Lord, let us have an encounter with you. As for those who are very, very far away, in the Americas, in Australia, in New Zealand, in Papua New Guinea, all over the world, who are watching on the internet because they just can't be here, my Father and my God, let them also have an encounter with you. By the time this night is over, Father, let all of us sing a new song. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Shake hands with two or three people and tell them, do you know God is about to pay you a visit? Then if you believe that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. And then you will please be seated. Between yesterday and now, the number of children born during this Congress is 10. Four boys and six girls. Let the girls shout, praise the Lord. And let the boys shout, hallelujah. I want to thank the Almighty God for bringing you here again tonight, because this is a night you will not forget in Jesus' name. And if I were you, I would tell all my friends who are here at home that if they miss tomorrow, they would have missed half of the Congress. And tomorrow in particular, we are talking about the flood of power. Anyone who misses that, I pity him or her. So tell your friends they should be here tomorrow, because the power of the Almighty God is going to come down in a flood. I also want to thank the Almighty God for the choir. They did another great job tonight. God bless you, choir. And I thank God for all the ministers who had ministered tonight. They did excellently well. I think we should give the Lord a mighty round of applause for all the great men of God who ministered tonight. Because of time, I will be as brief as I can. But I want you to be very expectant tonight, because God is going to heal. I didn't hear your amen to that. Tonight we want to talk about the healing flood. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. And while you are opening your Bibles, let me encourage you. You did very well. Those of you who were here yesterday, you prayed very hard. But today you are going to pray harder. And the Almighty God is going to answer all your prayers. Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. He healed how many? All that were sick. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. One of the titles of God is the great physician. Exodus 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, verse 26. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And he loves to heal. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Matthew 8, verse 1 to 3, said a multitude was coming down with him from a mountain. A leper came unto him, fell at his feet, worshipped him, and said, I know you are able to make me clean if you are willing. His answer was, yes, I'm willing. Be thou clean. He's a great physician. He enjoys healing. He has never changed. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. And I'm sure it will interest you to know that there is no sickness in heaven. According to Revelation chapter 21 verse 4, Revelation 21 verse 4, Bible made it clear, there's no pain there. Heaven is full of health. And so when we talk about a flood of healing from a God whose name is the great physician, who loves to heal, then you know what to expect. However, we're going to look at this topic from maybe about five little subheadings so that we'll have time to pray as we go along and still finish on time. And the first thing is that it is possible for God to heal everybody. He can heal just one out of many. He's done it before. John chapter 5, verse 2 to 9. John 5, verse 2 to 9 tells us about the pool at a place called Bethesda. There was a multitude there. And there was one man who had been there for 38 years. All of them waiting for the turning of the water by an angel. Jesus came there, healed just one man, and left the place. He can heal just one. Now, if Jesus is going to heal only one person here tonight, who will that fellow be? And then in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 14, Luke 17, verse 11 to 14, the Bible said, 10 lepers came unto him, crying for help. And he healed all 10. So he can heal just one. If he wants, he can heal 10. And then in the text we read tonight, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, Matthew 8, 16, the Bible said, in the evening, just like a time like this, they brought all manners of sick people to him, and he healed them all. Now that tells us, no matter how large the multitude, he has the ability to heal them all. Years ago, when we were here at the very first auditorium, we were preparing for a special legal service, and the Almighty God spoke to me as I was waiting on him. He asked me to do certain things, which by his grace I was able to do. And he said, I will see the reward during the program, which was to last from Friday to Sunday. On Friday night, when we call forward those who were healed, and we counted them, they numbered 14,000. I was amazed. I've never seen anything like that before. After the program, I went into my room, fell on the ground, and I was thanking him. And he spoke to me and said, "Son, tomorrow I will do more." And I was wondering. The total crowd at that time was just a little more than the 14,000 that we have healed. Where will be more come from? But the people who got healed on that Friday went to town and began to tell all their friends, "Where were you?" etc., etc. To cut a long story short, the following day, he healed 16,000. Then we moved from the first auditorium to the second one. And once again, we were getting ready for a special program. And I said, "Daddy, I will want you to do something special this time." And he said, "Okay, son, I will heal 70,000. By then, we had grown. That night, he healed 70,000. Then we moved to this auditorium. And some of you will remember that on one occasion, he told me and I told you that he was going to heal 144,000. And he did that one. But I've been looking forward to the time when he will heal all. Because even that night when he healed, I'm sure somebody believes it's going to be tonight. If you believe that, let me hear your amen loud and clear. Because that night when he healed 144,000, and I went into my room, and I was praising him, and I was weeping for joy. I peeped through the window of my prayer room, and I saw a handful of people on wheelchairs that were being taken away, still on wheelchair. So I said, "Daddy, thank you for what you have done, but what about these people?" He said, "The reason I didn't heal all of them is because I want you to remember you are not God." I said, "Okay, I know I'm not God, but I will never take your glory." How many of you believe that tonight is going to be the night? Stand on your feet. Join hands together. And lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, "Father, tonight, heal all of us." Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Heal all of us tonight, Lord. Father, tonight, in a way we cannot explain, heal all of us. All of us. All of us. Heal all of us tonight. Father, heal all of us tonight. Heal all of us. Heal all of us. Father, heal all of us tonight. Heal all of us tonight. Almighty God, heal all of us tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. You see, Whenever God wants to do something great, He gives you a little foretaste. 2 Fridays ago in Ivory Coast, we had a Holy Ghost service. When we finished and I called forward those who were healed that night, and I told them, please don't lie. If He healed you, you are the only one to come forward. The only people who see us for prayers were less than 20 out of that huge crowd. I knew then that God was giving me a hint of what is about to happen during this Congress. If you really believe with me that tonight is going to be the night, let me hear you shout hallelujah again. Number two, not only can He heal all, He can make whole. You know, there's a difference between being healed and being made whole. If you come to a doctor with headache, he can give you something that will take care of the headache. But unknown to you, there might be a bigger problem than headache hidden in your body. To be healed means the particular problem you know is taken care of. To be whole means there's nothing left at all that is called sickness in your body. And I'm believing God that tonight, somebody's not just going to be healed, somebody's going to be made whole. Because in Luke 17, that I mentioned earlier, on verse 19, 11 to 19, Luke 17, verse 11 to 19, the Bible says, after those 10 lepers were cleansed, one came back, shouting, praising God. And Jesus Christ said to him, your faith has made thee whole. Now he was already healed. But God gave him something greater than healing. He gave him wholeness. In another example, in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, Mark 5, 25 to 34, is the story of the girl or the lady with the issue of blood. She had been healed by touching the hem of the garment of Jesus. But after she came, fell before Jesus Christ and worshipped Him, Jesus Christ said to her, girl or lady, go in peace, thy faith has made thee whole. So what exactly do we mean by wholeness? You see, a very good illustration in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14. 2 Kings 5, verse 1 to 14. It's the story of Naaman the leper. And if you have ever seen a leper before, you know that if leprosy had been around for a while, the leper is likely to have lost some fingers. At times, half of the nose is gone. At times, half of the ear is off. So even if they are cured, the patches will remain. There will be scars to show that this fellow had been a leper before. But in the case of Naaman, the Bible specifically tells us that when he came out of the river the seventh time, his body was returned to him, the skin was returned to him like that of a newborn baby. Complete wholeness. No sign that this fellow had ever been sick before. Somebody is going home tonight without any scar left at all. And I've told you the story before. You know, I told you, some of you are old, you will know that this is an old story. I was visiting a church in Kaduna. several years ago, not one of the Redeemed Christian Church of God churches, but the church of one of my sons. And I spoke on faith. When I finished, the pastor asked me to sit down in his office and put somebody at the door to make sure that I won't be disturbed. But then I heard through the door, a woman came to the fellow at the door saying, "I must see the man of God." And the man at the door said, "What for?" The woman says, "It's none of your business, but I must see him." To cut a long story short, she came. And said, "Sir, the reason I'm talking to you is because nobody has spoken about God the way you have just done tonight. So my faith is high. Number two, you are not in this town. So what I'm about to tell you, I know you'll be gone by tomorrow." So I said, "Okay, so what's the problem?" And then she removed her headgear, because her head was covered like that of our Muslim sisters. She removed the cover. And when I saw the face, I shrank back, because the face was terribly disfigured by leprosy. "Ah, why are you here? Why didn't you go to the hospital and get attention?" She said, "I have two sons. If I go to the hospital like this, they will send me to the leper colony. Who will take care of my sons?" "Then why didn't you tell the pastors to pray for you?" He said, "Ah, I've just told you. Suppose they pray for me and nothing happens. Next Sunday, when they see me coming, they will say, 'Here comes the leper.' But in your own case, by tomorrow, you are gone." And I prayed for her. I didn't touch her. I didn't lay hands on her. I must confess. A year later, I was back in the same church. As I was coming out of the car, I saw a very beautiful lady coming towards me, smiling brightly, and said, "Sir, you don't remember me?" I said, "No, ma." She said, "I was the leper, but your father touched me." There's somebody tonight who's going to be made whole. If you are the one, stand on your feet. Join your hands together with your neighbor and cry to the Almighty God and say, "Father, tonight we are not just asking for healing. Make us whole." Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Oh Lord, make us whole. Make us whole tonight. Make us whole tonight. Not just healed, but whole. Not just healed, but completely whole. Yes, Lord. Make us whole tonight. Make us absolutely whole tonight. Thank you, Father. Make us whole, Almighty. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Number three, do you know that God has the ability to make you enjoy divine health for the rest of your life? That it is possible for you, after making you whole tonight, never to be sick again? Because when he was talking in Exodus 15 verse 26, Exodus 15 verse 26, he says, I will bring none of the diseases that I put on the Egyptians upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. In 3 John verse 2, 3 John verse 2, he said, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health. Not just prosper and be healed. Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You know, in Deuteronomy 34 verse 7, Deuteronomy 34 verse 7, the Bible says, at the age of 120, Moses was as vibrant as ever. Even his eyes didn't grow dim. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 13, Joshua 14, verse 6 to 13, Caleb said, at the age of 85, he said, I'm still ready for war. I'm ready to go out to war. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready. He said, just give me this mountain and leave me and the inhabitants thereof. At 85. I was telling the story just, I think, two Sundays ago of someone that many of you here know who came to me when he was about to turn 84 and said, sir, I met a prophet 40 years ago. The prophet told me everything I will become and told me that at the age of 84, I will die. Now there are 2 weeks to go. That's why I've come to you to pray for me so that I will make it home safe and sound. I laughed. I said, sir, do you really want to die? He said, no. He said, but the prophet said, and everything that prophet said came to pass. I said, the question I'm asking is, do you really want to die? He said, no. Okay, now that you have given your life to Jesus, are you ready to serve him? He said, yes. I said, then forget death. The old man remained vigorous. No sickness, no ache, no pain, until he was almost 100. Then he sent for me and said, I want to go now. I have tried. I said, I don't mind. You can go. Do you know that it is possible for you, till you leave this world, never to experience any form of sickness, ache, or pain again? Do you want that? Stand on your feet. Shake, join your hands with your neighbor and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, I am in total agreement with my neighbor. From now on, no more ache, no more pain, no more sickness, no more disease. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. We are in agreement tonight, Lord. No more sickness, no more pain, no more disease. No more ache, no more pain. Father, we agree. We are all in agreement, Lord. No more ache. No more pain. No more sickness. Till we see you in glory, divine health alone is what we want. Divine health is what we want. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' mighty name.
But God can go a step further. He can turn your hands to healing hands. In other words, He can make your hands extension of His own hands, so that whoever you touch will get a healing. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone here tonight. He said, by the time you see your doctor again, he will tell you that what I told you was a false alarm. Thank you, Almighty. Daddy also said there's someone here that in recent time your strength has been dwindling. He said, but if you check now, you discover you're already feeling stronger and stronger. Thank you, Father. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 18, Mark 16, 17 to 18, the Bible says Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples, and that includes you, that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, and one of the things he said we will do in his name is that we will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In Acts chapter 3 from verse 1 to 8, Acts 3 verse 1 to 8, Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. They saw a layman there and they said to him, silver and gold have we none, but what we have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And when he didn't move, they grabbed him by the hand. And suddenly, the healing power of God flowed through the hand of Peter into the man. His ankle bones received strength. He got up walking, leaping, and praising God. In Acts chapter 28, I'm just giving you some of these Bible passages before we pray our next prayer. In Acts 28, verse 8 to 9, the Bible tells us that Paul the apostle was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. Some things happened there. Finally, they told him that there is a man there who was sick. He went in, he laid hands on him, the man got healed. And so they began to bring all the sick people to him, and he kept laying hands on them, and they all got healed. Now, I'm sure many of you came here tonight thinking that at the end of the program, the general overseer will come down and lay hands on you. Hands will be laid on you tonight, but it will be by the members of the congregation to show you that the Almighty God can use ordinary people to heal. Because he's going to heal all tonight. And he's going to change your hands to healing hands. And I remind you of just one testimony. I think this is about 3 years ago. We were on our way to Australia, I think. And we passed through Malaysia. And we stopped over by to minister to our children in Malaysia. And the crowd that was waiting at the airport to receive us was great. There was no way I could say I'm greeting all of them one by one. There were many. So I said that I will lower the window of the car and wave to them as I drive past. But as I was driving past, there was one man who stretched his hand beyond everybody else and touched my hand as I was waving. He said, uh-huh. I touched his hand. He had a child who was born lame. He ran home and put his hand on the child and say, I touch the hand of the man of God. I command you, stand up and begin to walk. And nothing happens. So he was disappointed. He waited for minutes. Nothing happened. Then he turned his back in sorrow to go to the kitchen or somewhere. As he was going, he heard a sound behind him. When he turned, it was the child following after him. Do you want God to use your hands to heal the sick? Then stand on your feet and raise those two hands to the Almighty God and say, Father, tonight I surrender my hands to you. Empower these hands to heal the sick. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Empower these hands, O Lord, to heal the sick. Empower my hands, Lord God Almighty, like never before, to heal the sick. Empower these hands, Lord, to heal the sick. Empower these hands to heal the sick. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. You may please be seated. Forgive me that I'm cutting your prayer short. You have plenty of time when we finish. I'm just watching the clock. And very soon, those of you who are nearest to those people lying on the floor there, you'll be the one who will go and lay hands on them, and you will see miracles happening before your eyes. But God can go a step further. If he releases the healing flood tonight and he soaks us in that healing flood, healing virtue can begin to flow out of us. What do I mean by that? Let me give you one or two examples. Acts 19. Verse 11 to 12. Acts 19, verse 11 to 12. The Bible says God performs special miracles. What kind of miracles? Special miracles by the hand of Paul. So that from his body, handkerchiefs and aprons were taken to those who were sick, those who were possessed. When they saw the handkerchief of Paul coming, the demons fled and the sick were healed. Healing virtue was flowing through the body of Paul into the dress that he wore. Or Acts chapter 5. You can read it from verse 14 to 16. Acts 5, verse 14 to 16. Bible tells us that at a stage, sick people were being laid in the streets so that the shadow, not the hand now, the shadow of Peter could just pass over them. And as many as were touched by the shadow, God healed. Or let's take another example. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 34. Acts 9, 32 to 34. The Bible tells us that there was a man called Aeneas. He had been bedfast for a long time. And then they brought Peter into the house. Peter didn't touch him. Peter did not even give him an handkerchief. All that Peter said was, "Aeneas, Christ has healed thee." As soon as he spoke, the man got healed. Now you may say all the people you are mentioning, they are all very, very special people. If you give us a testimony, I mean, we've had several testimonies of people that you sent handkerchiefs to and they got healed. We are just members of the congregation. Can the same thing happen to us? I will just remind you, at least those of you who were there then, of a lady who gave a testimony, I think about a year or two ago. She was here at a program when she got a phone call that her daughter was about to deliver and the daughter was in distress. She said, "Okay, I'm coming." On her way going, she took an handkerchief that we have anointed here, took a bottle of oil that we have anointed here, and when we say they were anointed here, you remember, you raised the handkerchief up, and I waved my hand. I didn't touch each handkerchief. When we say the bottle of oil was anointed, you lifted it up, I waved my hand. So she took the bottle of oil, took the handkerchief, and went to the hospital. By the time she arrived, if you will remember, the daughter had given birth to a set of twins, but the twins were dead, and the daughter was dead. And so she said to the doctors, "Please, may I have access to the twins?" And the doctor said, "Sure, they're already dead. They can't be deader." She took the bottle of oil, dropped some drops in the mouth of the first, some drops in the mouth of the second. Minutes later, the first one coughed and came back to life. She looked at the second and said, "What are you waiting for? Hurry up." And that one also coughed and came back to life. You remember the testimony now? Around that time, of course, by now there was pandemonium in the hospital. Around that time, they were rolling her daughter, the mother of the twins, to the mortuary. And she said, not so fast. Please allow me access to her too. They dropped some oil in her mouth, dropped the handkerchief on her head. I said, "Please don't waste my time. Come back." You remember the testimony, don't you? And the mother and the twins came back to life. If God can use an ordinary member, she's not a pastor, she's not a deaconess. If God can use an ordinary member to raise three dead, remember I told you that day, even myself have not done three in one day. If an ordinary member can raise three in a day from the dead, and God is no respecter of persons, if you believe God can do the same for you, stand on your feet and lift your hands to the Almighty God and say, "Father, tonight, open the floodgates of heaven and pour the healing flood on me. Right now, go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Open the floodgates of heaven, Lord. Pour the healing flood on me so that healing virtues will begin to flow through me. Healing virtues. Healing virtues. Healing virtues will begin to flow through me. Through my hand, through my dress, through my shadow, even through my words. Oh Lord God Almighty, release the healing flood. Open the floodgates of heaven and release the healing flood on me. Oh yes, Father, do that. And I will glorify your holy name. Thank you, Father. And so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe you receive, let me hear you shout hallelujah. You'll be putting your faith to work in a moment, but in the meantime, please sit down. Now comes the question. Who will he heal? Because like I told you yesterday, the total summary of everything that Jesus taught is that nothing goes for nothing. If you love him, he will love you. If you give, you shall be given. If you want to be healed, there are conditions. Why did he heal the leper in Matthew chapter 8? You read it from verse 1 to 4 or further down, you will discover that the moment that leper was cleansed, he went about testifying. There are many people that God will want to heal, but he knows he won't tell anyone. He will just receive the healing and keep quiet. He's not going to waste his healing. Who will he make whole? You know from the story of the 10 lepers, he cleansed 10. Only one came back to say thank you. And he didn't say thank you quietly. He said it loud and clear. God had healed some of us before, but nobody knew. Nobody heard us. We didn't even say thank you to God. Who will he make healthy? Exodus 15:26 made it clear. If you are going to enjoy health, he said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that he commands you, all. Then he said, you will enjoy health for the rest of your life. Who is going to enjoy divine health for the rest of his life? You cannot be eating poison and expect to remain healthy. If you have cholera, for example, and God heals you from cholera, but you continue to eat with unwashed hands, and you get another cholera, you can't be eating poison and expect to remain healthy. It's not going to happen. You can't be eating what God says is my portion and expect to enjoy divine health. It's not going to happen. He said tithe belongs to him. If you are eating what he says belongs to him, you are eating poison. In fact, he says he's so angry with those who are eating what belongs to him that he says he will place a curse on them. Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8 down to 10. Who is going to become a vessel unto honor in his hand? Who is going to be the one who will be laying hands on the sick and they'll be recovering? And the Almighty God knows that if he begins to use you for miracles, very soon people will begin to respect you. And he said clearly in his word, he said, those who honor me, I will honor. You want to be a vessel unto honor in his hands? And then you are robbing him of his first fruit. Nothing goes for nothing. You cannot be swimming in sin and expect the Almighty God to make you healthy. It's not possible. I'll be failing my duty if I don't tell you the truth. I've told you the story before about myself. Before I became born again, malaria fever always knocked me down. Every two weeks. Every 2 weeks. If 2 weeks passed and I wasn't knocked down by malaria fever, we celebrated. We champagne. And then I woke up the following morning with headache. Then I became born again and I said to the Lord, heal me and I will serve you. I might have had other challenges since then, but malaria never came back. That was since 1974. But then it came back, of course, at the right time and said, you said, heal me and I will serve you. I've healed you. You have to fulfill your own part of the contract. Do you want to serve him in holiness? You want to obey his instructions? You want to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all that he commands you? You want to stop eating poison? You want to begin to honor him? Before the end of the year, you will have abundant testimonies. And so those of you who are not yet saved, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. You see, when they brought a man to him, in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, Mark 2, verse 1 to 12, you know that boy that they broke the roof of the house and lowered him down before Jesus Christ. The first thing Jesus Christ said to him is, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He took care of the sin before he took care of the sickness. So, if you are here and you are not yet born again, come to him. Let his blood wash away your sin. And then, your healing will follow. So, I'm going to count from 1 to 7. If you want to give your life to Jesus, before I say 7, you must be here. And then, I pray for your salvation. And we'll pray one more prayer and we'll be on our way home. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, come now. I'm counting. 1. Two. Three. There's enough power in his blood to wash away all your sins. Come to him. Let him wipe away your sins and then your healing will follow. 4. Five. Six. Now, those of you already in the front, begin to talk to Jesus. Tell him, please save my soul. Wash me clean with your powerful blood. And those of you on the way, you hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And the rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them. And pray that the Almighty Savior will save their souls. That with his mighty blood, he will wash away all their sins, so that they be free to receive his healing flood. Please intercede for them. Those of you on the way, hurry up. I'm about to pray for salvation now. And then after he has saved your soul, he can release the healing flood to you. Thank you, Father. Let's pray for them for just one more minute. Intercede for them that the Almighty Savior will save their souls, that he will wash them clean and give them a brand new beginning. Thank you, Father. If you're on the way, just make sure you get there before I finish praying, and that will be okay. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Savior, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these, your children, that have come forward to surrender their life to you. Please, my Father and my God, receive them in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Save their souls in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wash them clean in your blood in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Write their names in the book of life.
Amen.
And from now on, anytime they call on you, please answer them by fire.
Amen.
And when you are healing people tonight, please don't leave them out.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Now, those of you who have come forward, let me hear you shout hallelujah. I rejoice with you, because from now on, by the grace of God, I will be praying for you. And very soon, you'll be receiving miracles. Now, I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer request. So if you turn to your left, you see a man there waving a piece of cardboard. If you follow him, it will take you to where some pastors are waiting for you. They will collect the information I want, and they bring you back very quickly. God bless you. Congratulations. You can begin to go now. Thank you, Father. One more prayer. The word of God says, if you believe, you shall see the glory of God. How many of you believe that? How many of you want to see the glory of God tonight? All right. Now, those of you who are on that side where the special cases are, I just want you to pair up. Just make sure you are two and go to any one of them. You're going to lay hands on them and you are going to pray. And I can assure you, by the grace of God, even by tomorrow morning, they will already be testifying. The rest of us, I want you to lay your hands on your neighbor and decree in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that before they get home tonight, they will be completely whole. Let's stand on our feet. Those of you who are on that side, go in twos and go and pray for those people. The rest of us, let's take ourselves two by two and talk with faith, with authority, and say, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, before you get home tonight, I decree that you'll be totally whole, absolutely well. I decree it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, before you get home tonight, be totally whole, be absolutely well. I decree absolute wholeness into your system tonight. Shall it be? In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. If you have been blessed tonight, let me hear you shout hallelujah. God bless you. See you tomorrow.